in The Godfather when he's Luca Brasi is like practicing his speech before The Godfather.
Is that how you thank them? That's creepy.
I'd like to, on today, this day, the day of your daughter's wedding, I'd like to thank you for having me at the wedding on this day.
How'd that work out for him?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so we are here for our Thanksgiving. I didn't even ask you what you had. Does it matter?
Or do we doesn't just go matter. Doesn't matter. Just, we're just going to do it.
We're just going to go right into Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
We're coming into Thanksgiving hot.
We're coming into Thanksgiving. Both turkeys blazing.
Yeah.
Both flash fried turkeys blazing.
That's right.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. So what do you have?
I have 12 weird Thanksgiving facts.
Okay, awesome. Weird so in the past, we talked about the history of Thanksgiving. We talked about Puritans v.
Pilgrims.
The history of Thanksgiving.
There are two different types of people.
And do not offend your white friends by calling their ancestors pilgrims when they were in fact
Puritans. So here's some weird facts that I found. Okay. Did you know, number one, that, you know, well, you know that there's a football game always on Thanksgiving.
Yes, I've never seen said, football, you know, aforementioned football game, but I know
everyone gets excited to sit in a chair and watch this.
But isn't football always on? I feel like I never know when the season is. Like, there's a time of the year where there's baseball and football, and I'm like, what's going on?
Oh, I know. They overlap.
One at a time.
Yeah. I can't deal with that. This, a football game always plays on Thanksgiving, and it's always the Detroit Lions.
Really?
Every year.
How'd they steal that deal?
Since 1934.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
So that's something for Detroit.
Right.
They may be broke, but they got that game.
It started because, there was a Detroit radio station owner. His name was George Richards.
Okay.
George Richards. And he wanted to get Detroit excited about his new football team, so he came up with the idea of playing a game on Thanksgiving.
The day when everyone's supposed to be with their families.
Right. And since he owned this radio station, he was able to convince NBC to broadcast the Thanksgiving game on all the stations.
So there must have been nothing. I imagine all the stations were like, well, we were just going to play like some Gene Autry. This is all right, too. This guy wants to give us free coverage of a game that no one cares about.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Everyone's eating anyway.
Right. And so it started that way. And ever since, the Lions will always, because the Detroit Lions, they'll always play.
But they're not the only ones, are they? Are there other games on? We don't even know.
I don't even know.
There must be other games. Otherwise, we would know. Because I think the one year that I did watch this game, I was going to call it Super Bowl. It's not. The one year I did watch the Thanksgiving Day game, it wasn't the Detroit Lions. So there must be competition.
There's got to be then.
Didn't even know that Detroit had Lions as a team. Never heard of them. I'm envisioning the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's how ignorant I am.
Really? Yes. That's all you know is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers. That's it.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. New York Giants? No?
Sure. They're in New Jersey. Got a nice logo, but probably not going to watch the game. All right. Awesome.
Okay. The first TV dinner ever to be made.
These are very high culture.
I know.
Thanksgiving.
It was a Thanksgiving dinner. That's what happened. They, Swanson's TV dinners.
I knew it was Swanson's. Are they still around?
Yeah, they sure are. They're gross.
It is gross.
It is gross. That and Banquet.
I know they're gross because I've had them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have had them too.
Yes. When we were kids, I don't think we knew they were gross.
Oh, yeah. Their TV dinner first sold for 98 cents, and it consisted of a Thanksgiving meal of turkey, cornbread stuffing, frozen peas, and sweet potatoes packaged like a tray used for airline
meals.
That's
right, because you have the joy of rolling back of the top, the foil on the top,
right?
And having some of the things cooked, some of the things not so much.
Yeah, because they had a huge surplus of frozen turkeys because of poor Thanksgiving sales, so they were like, what do we do with them?
Well, package them into a prison meal.
Right. And that's how that started. It was a Thanksgiving meal.
That's just such a, like...
Isn't that sad?
It makes me wonder about business people sometimes. That's, like, supposed to be a joyous holiday full of bounty and friends and family. They're like, nah, prison meal. We got extras. Like, why is that the... They could have given the turkeys away.
They could have. But no.
No. Instead, they're like, let's turn it into a product.
Right. There are three towns in the U.S. named Turkey, one in Texas, Louisiana, and North Carolina.
Huh. I live in Turkey.
And each have fewer than 500 people living there.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably not. Not a coincidence.
Right. The largest man-made turkey, I'm showing you a picture, is in Minnesota, and it weighs over 5,000 pounds, and it stands 20 feet tall.
What is it made out of?
It's made of steel.
Okay.
And fiberglass feathers.
Why?
Because the fiberglass company.
Oh, my God. Is every Thanksgiving is this totally brought to you by?
Yeah. It took 8 hours to assemble after three main pieces were constructed. So it's not.
We're
going to
find out the Pilgrims were like the first corporation.
Yes. Okay. The night before Thanksgiving is the single biggest day for bar sales in the U.S.
Really?
I've told you about this.
That makes sense because you know what you're doing the next day. It involves a gigantic meal late in the day. Mm-hmm. Probably only one person out of four or five is going to be driving, if you're driving anywhere. Alternatively, you may be where you're going to be the night before.
Right.
So why not get soused?
Yeah, but it's everybody coming home again, especially college students.
I didn't think about that.
College students go home for the holidays.
And then they need to get loaded.
Yeah, and you know that at that age, they're not helping, you know,
to
peel
prepare,
the potatoes.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going out.
But also, I think people who are just out of college are probably coming back to you. People who haven't started their own families are like, damn it, I got to go back to Poughkeepsie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get drunk. And then you run into all your friends.
Yes. And it's a big social thing. So it's like you haven't seen anybody in a year and you're like, how are they looking? No, they gained weight.
Let's get drunk.
Right.
Now they look better.
Yeah. The first meal on the moon were packets of roasted turkey.
Why?
Because
America.
Yeah.
If the Japanese had gotten there first, would it be like a nice sushi platter? Freeze dried.
Right. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin ate turkey on the moon.
Wow. Were they sponsored by?
Yeah. The original Macy's Day Parade had animals from the Central Park Zoo.
Are you serious? How sad. I can't even imagine. I mean, I've been to the Central Park Zoo. The animals are fine, but it's like, it's already bad enough that you're like a penguin in Manhattan.
Right, right.
Now you're being paraded down the street.
So the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is a tradition. It's the big parade. Macy's sponsors it. And it started in 1924.
Okay, as an advertisement.
Right. And instead of using floats, Macy's used live animals borrowed from the zoo.
Borrowed, yeah. Can we just get on this camel for a second?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Macy's Day Parade?
Only on television. I worked at Macy's years and years ago in this city. And they offered all the employees, like, if you want to work and volunteer for the parade. Not work. You volunteer. You can. You get first dibs as
they
a volunteer.
They gave you the option to volunteer? How nice.
Yeah. And you had to get there something like 4 in the morning. And
I've only seen the when they blow the balloons up. That's pretty cool. They do that somewhere uptown, like in the 70s, I think, they inflate all the balloons the night before. And that's really cool to see. Because you actually get a chance to see them going up. And it's like, oh, where's it going to be? But as for the parade itself, unless something bizarre happens, like that one year where one of the balloons fell on somebody in a wheelchair,
right.
I'm not interested. Like, unless something untoward happens, I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't like parades.
Last year,
I only like the Halloween parade.
Last year, there was a robot in the parade, I heard.
Really? Yeah. What if it's an all-robot parade this year?
Yes, and the people watching it are robots as well. We can all stay home.
Those balloons are scary.
They're scary and dangerous.
Yeah. Underdog. Like, why?
Is he still around?
I know.
I think they probably have newer things up there now.
I don't know. You know, when you eat your Thanksgiving meal, you know, it's about 4,500 calories. That's the average.
I don't think...
That's enough to gain 1.3 pounds.
I really don't think that we eat that much at Thanksgiving.
Oh, sure you do. Yeah,
4,000 pounds?
No, 4,500 calories.
I mean, sorry, 4,000 calories? That's a lot of food.
That's a lot. Well, think about all the butter and the cream and the cheese and...
Lactose intolerant.
Desserts.
Mine's probably like 2,000 pounds. I mean, 2,000 calories. Because I can't have butter and cheese and milk. That, like, cuts everything out.
Well. All right. I'm sure I'm showing you the picture. Well.
Is that turkey onions? A casserole?
This is the green bean, the famous green bean casserole that comes trotted out at every Thanksgiving.
I've heard tell of it.
Okay, it was conceived in 1955.
Yes, conceived is the right word, do this thing.
1955 by Campbell's. And it says here, the This is what it says, and I'm going to tell you something different. Mm-hmm. The recipe was originally created for an Associated Press holiday food feature. The recipe supervisor at the New Jersey Campbell Soup Home Economics Kitchen is credited with creating the ubiquitous Campbell's Cream of Mushroom Soup recipe. Campbell's estimates that it sells more than $20 million of that variety every year because of this recipe. It has French's onions on top of the beans. Mm-hmm. You know, you mix the soup in there, whatever. All right. It's nasty, right?
It's disgusting. It is
so
absolutely
cream
horrible.
Of soup and beans and then fried onions.
And then
on
fried
top.
Onions on the top. I don't understand, first of all, like, I do a fair amount of cooking, so do you. But for an occasion like this, just chop up some mushrooms, people. Come on. Make your own little kind of like a consommé or something. Chop up some beans. And then, you know what? Fry some onions and put them on top. Those fried onions are weird. They're like some weird kind of American wonton madness.
Right. Right. But this recipe is responsible for $20 million in sales per year for Campbell's.
That's crazy.
But you know who really came up with the recipe?
A trailer park person. Isn't that where the best casseroles come from?
Poverty? My mom's friend.
Your mom's friend came up with it?
My mom's friend actually came up with this recipe in a contest, and she won like $5.
And
then
they stole it
and took credit for it, and they're like, she gets nothing for it.
That's insane. Yeah. Is she still talking about it?
She's dead now.
She's waving a can. It says on her grave, soup is not good food. Soup is not good food. That's crazy. No, I'm serious. I feel like when I was growing up, the casseroles, like people, I grew up in an area with a lot of poverty, mm-hmm. and the casseroles were on point.
Yeah,
like when you don't have a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a meal stretcher.
But you have a baking dish.
You have a baking dish and some pasta, some noodles.
You have a cheese type situation.
And you have a soup in a can.
Yeah, some leftovers. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Jeez. Let's see. Lincoln made Thanksgiving the official holiday.
That's right. Another reason why he is a fantastic president.
That's right. And I think we talked about this one before, but Jingle Bells was originally a Thanksgiving song.
What was it about?
It was about going to, it was composed by James Pierpont in 1857 for his Sunday school class's Thanksgiving performance at the church. He wrote the song so to keep it nice and simple so his students could remember it.
He just, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. You guys got that? You can do that, right?
Yeah. The song was so well received at the Thanksgiving concert that children sang it again at Christmas, and it became associated with Christmas instead
of
Thanksgiving.
Very interesting.
Those are my facts.
All right, I've got a little thing here. I've got some advice on advice, if you will. Give me an introduction.
Advice on advice is a segment wherein we find advice on the internet that's unqualified and frankly stinks.
Yeah, and we improve upon it by giving our advice on the advice, hence advice on advice.
That's right.
So I have something here. It's from the Houston Chronicle. It says, Thanksgiving dress code deserves tongue-in-cheek response.
Huh?
So, dear Miss Manners, for the past 10 years, my family has been celebrating Thanksgiving at my sister and brother-in-law's home.
Okay.
That's your first problem.
Yeah.
Now, because you've established something now for a decade. Now we have received an email from our brother-in-law about how to dress when coming to Thanksgiving.
No. Wait a minute.
My sister explained...
No shoes, no shirt, no service.
Yes. Mine is no shoes, no shirt, no problem. My sister explains his lengthy treatise by saying, quote, he feels very strongly about the way women dress these days.
Oh, under his roof, a woman's gonna...
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the tone of his 3-page treatise. So this guy wrote 3 pages.
What?
He's obviously obsessed with naked women.
Okay.
By the tone of this, we can see that he is very upset about the current state of, quote unquote, undress of the female of the species, i.e. low-cut tops showing cleavage and breasts. Or breasts.
People are falling out at this table? Is that what's going on?
I discuss this with my male friends all the time. What man has a problem with saying more of any woman?
Right.
Like, who are these guys out there who are like, no breasts, please, please, no breasts. Especially like huge breasts.
Yeah.
Heaving. Well, no, thank you.
Heaving voluptuous.
Yeah. I don't want to see a juicy butt. No. So none of the females who attend dinner each year has ever dressed in the manner he describes.
Oh, get out.
But we are tempted to do so now that he has warned us not to. Actually, we might have even agreed with some of his points if discussed at dinner, but we have never before received an email from him and do not wish to argue with him via the internet. We are wavering between covering ourselves from head to toe burkas, or wearing the lowest cut tops we own, thong and bikini, and a pilgrim hat. Which would you recommend? And what do you think about the inappropriateness of his warning? How bizarre is that?
I think a lot of things about this.
But these are women in his family.
And he's...
And he does, he wants that. There's something weird going on with him. Okay, so gentle reader.
Okay.
The total cover-up has Miss Manners' vote as a response to this email, which is not just inappropriate, but extra insulting, as it was unprovoked by you recipients. You should aim for satire, not rebellion. So by satire, I think, you know those t-shirts you get at, like, the beach that have... a body wearing a bikini.
Yeah.
Right, I would go with that.
Oh, no.
Or some slim, good body.
Yeah. It's like the fake tuxedo.
Yeah, the fake tuxedo.
Right.
You should aim for satire, not rebellion, which would only provoke a matching speed, setting a new record for soporific holiday dinners. You have forwarded the entire long text of your brother-in-law's rant. Wow. So, sadly, people, we don't have this. I would love to read this guy's three pages.
Oh, I would love
complaining
to.
About his mother-in-law's breasts. Hanging out of
and
the
all
table.
The women in the family,
all the women,
and the state of their dress.
Yes,
he's been noticing
undress, the state of undress.
He's really looking at everyone.
He's looking at everyone, and his poor wife. You and Miss Manners was struck by his annoyance that the local paper did not print his views on the decline of civilization. Oh, this is a Republican, as expressed in female fashion, and his accusations that. He finds it tasteless and aggressive, as well as sexually provocative. So these women's breasts are attacking him. Even just an inch of cleavage is an assault on his manhood.
As they do. You know, you have them and I have them. We know how much they assault everyone.
So she's saying basically because he self-published it by sending it to them. So because it couldn't get the papers. He seems sadly in need of a ranting blog where he might find like-minded people to encourage him. Like doomsday preppers. And then there is his suggestion that his wife be asked to testify that to tell them that he's anything but puritanical in their private life. This is wrong.
What is this?
So he just wants them to know that in the bedroom it's alone.
Oh,
but he doesn't want anything untoward hanging out,
like,
literally,
in the
at
bedroom,
his table.
That's fine. That's the sanctioned area.
Yeah, and if you guys want to come in there, that's one thing.
Ew. He's kind of inviting his family members in for some... boudoir activity.
Some extra helpings of turkey. Oh, well, Miss Manners hopes that you were able to salvage some merriment out of the occasion. What is Thanksgiving without a nutty relative? Okay.
What is it? First of all, just kind of throwing it out there like, hey, what a nutty relative.
That's not a nutty relative. This guy is a lunatic.
Yeah.
He's ranting and raving about women in his extended family.
Right.
Right, these are in-laws. So this is like, it's not his sister, his mom, which would be even weirder.
Right.
If he was freaked out by his, you know, mom or sister or women in his family being dressing in a, what he calls an aggressive manner.
Mm-hmm.
But these are his in-laws. He's clearly as hot
for his
in-laws.
And then he's taking this as a forum, like, you're in my house, my rules. It's like, nobody's living there. They're guests in your
home. You know, we're having a new Thanksgiving this year over at my house. Forget it. Any of you who want to go to that weird... you know, cover from head to toe thing over at his house, go right ahead.
Right.
But we're not going to wear anything. I'm sorry, but if that letter...
And what about the men? And what about...
The men are fine.
Men are fine, of course.
So,
you know what? The men should all wear low-cut.
Low-cut blouses and tight trousers.
Yeah.
I think the men should go wearing hot pants.
Yeah. All the men... Yeah, right. Hot pants.
They should dress like the village people.
Hot pants and, like, a t-shirt with a big V going down to the belly.
To the navel.
Yeah. That's what the men should do. And then the women just dress however they see.
There's no way I'm not going to this dress as a sexy pilgrim. I'm sorry. I just have to see this guy have a heart attack. Like, that's my goal of the meal. Like, believe me, I'm going to be passing all kinds of food to him with a low-cut blouse.
Would you like another helping?
Yes.
As you lean over.
As I lean over. After I've tried to make cleavage out of what I have going on.
Yeah.
What a nightmare. I think that's not bad advice, though. It's just weird.
No, I think, but I don't like the way she brushed it off at the end.
Like, he's nutty? This guy is a nut.
He's got a huge problem.
He's got a problem
with women.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem, especially if you're in a family situation.
But it's just a meal. Keep it in your pants. Like, it's one day.
Yeah.
Is it like a cougar den in there? I don't know.
Oh, God. It's so gross.
I just remember for going to, I saw some other articles that were actually quite good about when you're a younger person and you're going to the holidays. Yeah. And they were like, basically wear something that you wouldn't mind being photographed to the nth degree in. Right. Because it's going to be pictures.
That's a really great piece of advice.
That's a good piece of advice.
Yeah.
This piece of advice, not so much.
You're right. Right. Wear a great outfit on the big holidays.
Or wear a hideous sweater.
Yeah.
Which I know is becoming very popular. I've never worn a hideous sweater. These hideous sweater parties, these ugly sweater contests.
Oh, yeah.
People do that sometimes.
But that's more of a Christmas thing to do.
Oh, ugly, I'm going to do it for Thanksgiving.
Party. Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to try to find the most hideous. I want to wear for Thanksgiving. I want to find like some kind of like Rocal Beat Obama sweater dress. Early Obama, when people still liked
it. A sweater dress?
Yes. I want the whole thing to be scenes from Obama's life.
Oh, God.
Culminating in his inauguration. And Rocal beads, a sweater dress. Turtleneck.
That sounds nice.
Mm-hmm. With 3/4 length sleeves.
And get another one for me.
Yes, we could go as twins.
Yeah.
Hope and change.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you have?
Okay. So you're at the Thanksgiving meal. Thankfully, you're not with this guy.
You're dressed appropriately.
Dressed appropriately. You're there. Mm-hmm. You're sitting around the table. What do you do? What do you say? What do you not say? So we have 8 things never to say at Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Well, you're sitting around the table and someone says, well.
Is the final solution on there? Someone, he had something going on.
Well, someone likes the stuffing. That's something that you never say.
Why? Is that bad?
Yeah.
Someone likes the stuffing.
Yeah, so I'm watching you eat your food, and I'm like, okay. Someone likes the stuffing. Okay, hey, you're really shoveling it down there.
Okay. I was thinking it the other way, like the stuffing is awful, but someone ate it anyway.
No.
I don't know.
No, you're around the table.
Okay,
here's the conversation. And then someone else brings up, we're eating.
Okay.
And someone pipes in, do you know what they do to the turkey before it's slaughtered?
Oh, my God. This
and
is
they
a
have
student.
That conversation.
This is a student who saw something from PETA.
Right. But that now's not the time.
No, it's
not
the time.
To talk about it.
Well, although where I'm from, people might be like, yeah, how they do it? Because we do it a different way. How we killed this turkey.
Yeah. We took it out back.
Yeah.
Kabam. Here's someone else who says, can you pass the yams? And I'm dropping out of law school.
What?
So,
is that a time to make an announcement?
Right. Is save major potentially distressing announcements for another time. Otherwise, your big news may monopolize everyone's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Unless it's something positive like I'm pregnant, which might not always be positive depending on the situation.
Yeah. But not at the table.
Yeah, you don't drop those bombs at the table.
I wouldn't say that at the table because then everyone is like, oh, how'd you get pregnant? And then they have a mental image of you. Getting pregnant.
Y'all got herpes. Happy Thanksgiving. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Just thought I'd bring it up now. Make it real uncomfortable for everybody. Now pass the yams. Or whatever it was. Pass the yams.
Here's something. Never say this to me, at least.
Okay.
Are you sure you need another glass of wine?
Please. I'm offended that you even played the role of someone saying that. Are you sure? That's my answer.
Yeah.
Are you sure you need to ask me that?
Right. Yeah. You don't call people out in front of everyone. Yeah.
Instead of asking me if I'm sure, why don't you just go ahead and pour it and see?
Yeah.
See how it works.
But if it's just mom getting tipsy on Turkey Day, it's best not to provoke her.
Yeah. Because I think if someone's like, oh, do you need more wine? Oh, I'm getting loaded now.
Yeah, right.
I was just going to have a few and then go to a bar and have a few more. But now I'm going to do it all here.
Oh, yeah.
Just
the glass, you take it and throw it on the floor and break and just have the bottle
at
your place. Yes. Just chug out the
bottle. I'm
going to
bring a super long straw from 7-Eleven.
And slurp out of everybody else's glass.
Yes. From one place.
I'd be like, oh.
You'd have to have a very uptight family to let that go.
Yeah.
Like, I like the kind of family gatherings where someone's just getting outrageous and the rest of the people are like, we don't see anything going on at all.
Right.
His dick is not in the mashed potatoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sense of denial.
Yes.
This is not a time to air past grievances.
Oh, yes, it is. Once you've had that wine.
How about a phrase like this? I'm thankful that after Tom's affair, he and I were able to work through our issues and move forward.
And now let's eat.
Yeah, right. Even if you're amongst family, you shouldn't throw anyone under the bus and do that kind of stuff.
I think when you're with family, that's when you really need to throw people under the bus. Where else can you do it? Like, that's the only place where you can throw someone under the bus, and it's kind of like, okay. Because Tom's not going to lose his job.
Right.
He's just going to feel emasculated, which is what you wanted.
That's right.
And probably what your sister Sarah also wanted.
Right.
And several other people are just like, oh,
and everyone's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then the person that he had an affair with, your sister Sarah, can just be like, I'm past the yams.
And this is another thing. Cutting remarks, you shouldn't say things like. And I'm thankful that most of my kids were able to take time out of their busy schedules to spend Thanksgiving with their mother, even if you can only stay for one night.
That's not bad. I guess you didn't deliver it correctly. Or I'm immune to guilt.
Oh, you?
I'd be like, oh, awesome. Yeah, I could only be here for one night, but I'm glad you appreciate that.
Oh, no. This is seeped in Catholicism. Okay.
See, I haven't had enough guilt.
It's just me and my mom.
There's not a lot of guilt there.
Oh, yeah. This is a very guilt-inducing kind.
Yeah. People have been to... I've invited people to Thanksgiving before with my family, and they're like, what's going on here? Just guilt-free? Like, is anyone going to get drunk and, you know, inappropriate? No.
No,
we're just going to eat, and then we're going to go home.
Here's something else you don't say. Okay. Do you have any salt? I say this all the time. I don't care.
What's wrong with that?
Because this is
flavorless as all get out.
Right. That's basically what it says when you say pass the salt.
Who doesn't just put salt on the table?
Yeah.
I've been to a couple of restaurants recently where there's no salt on the table. I've been like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with this.
I keep some salt in my pocket.
You know what?
Pull it out.
That's when you know you're getting old. I keep Sweet and Low in my pocket. I went somewhere the other day and I was like, do you have any artificial sweetener?
Ew.
And they were like, no, we don't. I was like, nah, I have some in my purse. And I have a little packet of packets. Literally just pulled out, opened up, and the woman's like maybe 20, just looked at me like, oh God, what I have to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Bring in your own sweetener. Because pretty soon, the sweetener that I like will probably be found to cause cancer, and it'll be hard to get. I'll have to stock up on it, and I'll have, like, my own stash.
Yeah.
Like old ladies.
Yeah. And also, as you get older, you'll start putting tissues in your bra.
Yes! You will.
I haven't done that yet.
Rolls. You will slip a roll into your bag for later.
Right. Or up your sleeve. And then, speaking of grandmas, this is something that you shouldn't say. I really miss grandma's pumpkin pie. Because she's dead.
Oh. Well, if the grandma's not there.
Yeah. If she's dead, she's bringing down the room.
Why couldn't you just say, I really miss grandma?
Yeah.
Just because she does pie.
It. Just the pie.
Just the pie.
Because that's what she was
doing. Does anyone have the recipe as a follow-up for that one?
Yeah.
All right. So I have four ways to celebrate Thanksgiving on the cheap.
Oh. And you know, because it is kind of expensive.
It is expensive, I think. And now tell me if I'm out of line with this one, but it says there's a cost to be considered, you know, because everyone wants to put on a good meal, you have people to your house, and it's assumed that the person who's throwing the party provides the food. I mean,
yes,
invite me to your house and there's nothing there. But they're saying the average cost of a Thanksgiving meal for a family of 10, what would you estimate that would be?
For 10 people?
I think these are 10 people who don't drink.
Oh, without alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like $3?
I have to. The bill suddenly went down significantly.
So, your turkey, you know, all the stuffing, the sides, you know,
$40
the breads.
$40 a person?
Thanksgiving meal last year, the average cost for a family of 10 was roughly $50. At $5 a head, don't invite me to your house.
Ew.
How could you?
Why? How could you do that?
I don't know.
You
I mean,
you put out cereal?
Maybe the prices in other parts of the country are just more moderate. But in New York, for $50, you'd be good luck feeding two people with, like, turkey and all that kind of stuff. In any case. So, keeping that in mind, they would like to reduce it even further 10 people. They want to get it under $5 a head. Here are four ways to do it. One, have a potluck.
Yeah. Not a potluck.
I don't know how the people's kitchens are.
Yeah.
That's always my thing with a potluck. Like, I don't know if, you know, what are the people going to make?
And I want my dish back.
I want my dish back as well. I mean, yes, invite people to bring their best dishes with the potluck thing. And it says, but this way, though, you have to keep in mind that you'll probably want to do the turkey. I'd farm that out right away. Like, that's the most difficult thing to me. I'd be like, Katie, bring the whole turkey.
Oh, my God.
Right. I'll be bringing cups. And rolls.
Solo cups.
They said shop the sales.
I was told to bring green beans once. Just green beans. Just
that means they don't trust your cooking.
That's right. And they said, don't cook them. We'll cook them here. Just bring the beans.
Yeah. They used to always tell my mom, just bring the rolls, the pre-made rolls, and then maybe some plates.
Okay.
Or napkins, right?
Yeah.
Retailers are smart. Shop the sales. They know we'll be shopping for heavily for items, and Thanksgiving is no different. In the week leading up to Thanksgiving, you can see many of the more traditional meal items put on sale. Sales on food? I don't know. I'm never sure about that. And it says, commonly you see a turkey and a ham deal. When you buy one, get the other three free. They're saying, beware. On the surface, it seems like a good idea, but do the math. Mm. It might not be.
Oh, my God.
Go generic.
Oh, if that turkey's all bone.
Yes.
Right.
The ham is just salt and rind.
Ew.
Go generic. Some people do not care for generic items. Look, when you take it out of the can, nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
No one has any idea. You want to be sensitive. Buying generic can be a great way to save money. Many staple items can be found. And they also talk about discount stores. And then the last one is decorations. I didn't know this was a huge cost for Thanksgiving. Did you decorate a lot for Thanksgiving when you were growing up?
Yeah, well, there should be a centerpiece, mm-hmm. and it's usually a cornucopia filled with some BS, you know, spilling out. You know, flowers, candles, a nice table runner. Tablecloth, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I've been had.
Yeah.
We never decorate. We would maybe have, like, we'd pick up a few of the real small gourds or pumpkins,
mm-hmm.
throw that on the table.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, no.
No.
You didn't do the big cornucopia spillage?
No, there's no room with all the food. I would never even think about that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Huh. Okay. So, what did
you do? I used to love putting that together.
So, what did you put in your cornucopia?
Oh,
kind tapes.
Yeah.
Can of mushroom soup.
A can of soup. Bag of chips, yay.
Some Doritos.
Right.
Combos.
All right.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I have here, well, we were talking about songs before, but the Thanksgiving song.
Okay.
Adam Sandler.
Oh, of course. How could Adam Sandler not make it into...
This is probably the most popular Thanksgiving song that there.
I think I actually
there.
Know it.
Yeah, it's just...
oh, wait, sorry, I'm thinking the Hanukkah song.
It's, yeah, he has the Hanukkah song, but the Thanksgiving song is also known as Happy Thanksgiving, and he wrote it back in 1992 and performed it on Saturday Night Live on a Weekend Update. And
oh, I think I was still watching Saturday Night Live at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, it's just the song just is made of, it's just a string of non sequiturs.
Oh, give us some.
Oh, yeah.
Please perform it. You don't have to sing it.
Turkey with gravy and cranberries. Can't believe the Mets traded Daryl Strawberry. How's that?
Timely. It's evergreen.
Right.
What else have you got, Adam Sandler?
No, but the thing about this, somebody wrote an article saying, hey, you know the Thanksgiving song. Some of you may not be old enough to understand all his references. And so instead of Googling them, I'll list all the references for you. So this person had the nerve to say, you know who Betty Grable is? You know, and defines Betty Grable. Jimmy Walker, Daryl Strawberry, Mike Tyson, Cheryl Teague, Sammy Davis Jr., Corduroy Pants.
Corduroy Pants?
Yes.
Is that something that people are not familiar with nowadays? It's a type of fabric.
Yeah.
If I say chintz, is everyone like, what the hell's going on?
Right. But apparently these are things that the newer generation is not going to be familiar with.
Really? I think that they're not giving enough credit to young people. Come on. Corduroy Pants. Sammy Davis Jr.?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah, it goes on about... so these are all references from the 40s through the 50s, 70s, and, you know, 90s. And the author of the article feels like, geez, let me help you out.
On this important, you know, some
on
people...
On this important song.
It's kind of like Ode to a Grecian Urn.
Right.
You know, you need to go through that and figure out those references.
Right,
somewhat
right.
similar with Adam Sandler's
yes.
Thanksgiving song. So, this year, apparently, stores are going to be open on Thanksgiving. This is a part of the war on Thanksgiving that all been hearing about.
Right.
And it says, who are millennials to blame for stores being open on Thanksgiving? I always find it interesting to blame a generation for something. So,
right.
retailers are saying they're open because that's what customers want. Well, of course, someone who's going to buy something wants a store to be open.
It's all the selfish people who are not doing any prep or traveling who just show up 20 minutes away from their parents' house.
And want to buy something.
Yeah, no, they show up, they eat, and then they're like, I want to go.
Well, see, here's the thing. They actually did some research, and they said 1/3 of overall population thinks that stores being open on Thanksgiving is great, of all people. That's 30% of all people.
What? I don't know these
people. However, roughly half of those ages 18 to 24 say it's great for stores to be open, while 48% of consumers 25 to 34 are also on board. People 55 and up, by contrast, only 16% think all-day store hours on Thanksgiving is a good idea. So, basically, so on one hand, they're blaming millennials for it being open, but they have to remember that a lot of young people now don't remember a time when things weren't open on holidays. Right. So it doesn't seem unusual. When we were growing up, stuff was closed tight.
Yeah, down
for the holidays. Tight.
All holidays.
All holidays.
Holidays and even Sundays.
And then slowly over time, things are becoming open more and more. And I guess I'm becoming accustomed to it as well. I'm not planning on going shopping on Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. but like I'm also a big online shopper. I think you are as well,
right.
You know, for the most part, unless it's something really specific.
Or, you know, I'm in and I'm out. I don't see shopping as a sport.
No, I do not. But the other thing they said that young millennials, and I think this is, they can stop saying millennials. I think it's people who don't have their own families is what they're pinpointing. And people who don't have their own homes are looking for an excuse to get the hell out of there after dinner. And if that excuse is Walmart, I can see them taking
it. Has a sale and I need to get on this because I need to save on the next holiday.
I need to get out there. So I just think it's really interesting because if you are not down with the fact that stores are open, then don't go to the store. Like I don't go to Walmart like ever.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to make an exception to make sure to go on Thanksgiving,
even though
I will be within reach of a Walmart when I go home.
I think that, you know, it's the idea that there are people that work at those stores that want to be with their families or where they want to be.
Well,
when
they asked millennials if they, you know, about that issue, like how they felt about people having to work, they were like, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people are assuming that there are some people who either want to work on that day or change. Who knows what the situation is? But it's here to stay.
Yeah,
it's not because Black Friday started 2 weeks ago. I'm not kidding. It started November 1st.
Right. Well, I think what they should do then, we should just quit Thanksgiving, just get rid of the holiday altogether. Start Christmas season early, and that whole Thanksgiving week it should be off. Everybody should be off of work.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go out and do your shopping.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why people go shopping is because they have that day off.
Yeah,
where they might not have a lot of other days off if they're working one or more jobs or they have other obligations. So it's an opportunity to get out there. But I feel like the Christmas season started, like, there's already Christmas stuff up. Like, the candy is still out from Halloween, and there's already Christmas stuff up
in the local
stores.
So I think, right after Halloween, we should start Christmas.
Just break right into
it.
And just run through the end of the year.
And skip over Thanksgiving.
I like your idea of a week off for shopping. A shopping week.
Yeah.
Why not? This is America. Damn it. Why don't we have a shopping holiday?
Yeah.
Well, we have to have several. Because the people who work in the stores will also need a day or two off
to
get their shop on as well.
Right.
I like it.
Yes.
All right, what do you have?
I have here, this is Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, nice.
Thanksgiving style.
So Tales from the Campfire is a segment where we find tales of horror, I was going to say of myth, mayhem, and murder.
Ghosts.
I don't know why. Ghosts, the paranormal, and we retell them here around the digital campfire.
Yeah.
So gather around
a
Thanksgiving scary story.
Yeah, well,
I'm glad you found one, but I could not.
This is Arizona Ghost Hunters Travel to Folsom Prison.
Oh, nice.
Yes. This Thanksgiving, Phoenix Ghost Hunters are traveling to the nearby state to check out nearby. It's not nearby. If it's...
In any case,
they're going to Folsom Prison. Because it is one of the most haunted prisons in California.
Wow. I would think every prison would be haunted.
I think so, too.
You know, if something was going to be haunted, a prison would be right up there.
Right. But this is the most haunted of all the prisons.
One of the most.
Yeah. Be careful as you enter the property. Visitors have seen a ghost walking around the front gate.
Well, thank goodness, because it's supposedly haunted. You know?
Yeah. They say it's the spirit of a prison guard that killed during the prison riot in 1927 on Thanksgiving Day.
Wow.
So apparently.
The Thanksgiving Day riot of Folsom Prison, as you may know.
Isn't there a song Johnny Cash?
Probably.
You know, Johnny Cash recorded at Folsom Prison.
Okay. Did he sing about this?
I wish.
I wish, yeah. We need more. We need Johnny Cash to sing more about things. It's too bad.
These people here, though, they're right. So there was a riot on Thanksgiving. Hopefully it wasn't over the holiday meal.
Wah, wah. You know it was. They probably got those Swansons and were like, what the F?
Yeah.
I'm getting life. I can't get a wing up in this mug, a drumstick, some stuffing.
Nope.
I'm going to tear this place apart.
And I got a shiv made out of that.
Thanksgiving wishbone shiv.
Yeah. So two prison guards died in that riot.
Not much of a riot. Two men down.
And so, on Thanksgiving Day, Ray Singleton was stabbed to death as he guarded inmates leaving the prison library after a movie. Oof. They went to a movie.
I wonder what it was. That was probably the cause of the riot. Some poorly conceived vehicle for some half-baked star.
And the other prison guard had a fatal heart attack while he manned his post.
Really? Maybe he should not have been up there.
The riot lasted 2 days.
Just the sight of the riot killed him.
Yeah. The police and local law enforcers ended the disturbance in which three prisoners died. Anyway, but ghost prisoners have been seen walking along the exterior catwalk. One of the guards saw these ghosts walking by, ordered them to stop.
They didn't.
They did not. Let's see. Guards fired
bullets. And was he just like, well, then just go on?
No, they fired.
Oh,
bullets.
They fired.
They're like,
they fired on them.
I told you to stop. They fired on them and they just kept going.
They just kept going.
Yeah. And then they vanished. Let's see. Most of the reports come from the morgue, the old hospital, and the old death row cells.
It's always amazing that these prisons have it's like a little city, you know?
Oh, God. It says, back in July in 1897, unruly convicts at Folsom Prison were given, quote-unquote, the spook treatment.
What's that?
The cell nearest to the scaffold was said to be haunted, and prisoners were thrown into this chamber, and they witnessed terrible paranormal events while locked up in this dark cell. The inmates say terrible threats were delivered by a voice through a telephone transmitter.
So somebody was fucking with them.
Yeah.
And they didn't understand basic...
Yeah, basically.
Like technology at the time.
Right. So, anyway.
It's
so
like it's all these voices need to be coming out of this here...
talking box.
This talking box. What's that all about? There's a red button on top.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Folsom Prison.
Yeah, Folsom Prison. So that's apparently pretty haunted, and you can see ghosts walking around, and if you shoot at them, they will keep going. Yeah.
So I have something, because it's Thanksgiving, and, you know, there's always somebody that you need to thank, and sometimes that person is your boss.
Oh,
so this is how to write your boss a thank you for their leadership. So let me just say.
I cannot sip any beverages when Jaquetta talks because.
Thank you for your leadership. And I'm going to put this up on our Tumblr because the video accompanying this is just bizarre. It's a guy talking you through how to thank your boss.
Oh, get out.
I'm often asked how to thank a boss or a team leader for their leadership. Thanks. You know what I mean? Thanks, man. It's easy and simple if you follow the right steps.
Your leadership style is really...
Rocks.
Swinging.
Yeah. It's swinging. It's also... it's easy and simple if you follow the right steps, but it's also fraught with peril.
Oh.
Do it wrong and you can come across as an ass kisser.
Yeah.
Or a suck up. Or worse. As if you somehow think your boss works for you. And you're patting him on the head. I don't know how thanking someone for doing something could ever... backfire, but apparently there is a way to do it. Always start by writing out your thanks.
Ew.
So this guy says even once you get good at it, maybe you can give the thanks verbally. But in the meantime, master the form by writing it out and taking the time to do the following steps.
I always do my Luca Brasi style, you know, in The Godfather when he's Luca Brasi is like practicing his speech before The Godfather.
Is that how you thank them? That's creepy.
I'd like to... On today, this day, the day of your daughter's wedding, I'd like to thank you for having me at the wedding on this day.
How'd that work out for him?
Right.
So,
that's how I do my thank you.
This guy says a true thank you note is much more meaningful on paper. Use a business style thank you card or a half sheet of 60 parchment paper. When using parchment paper, I cut normal sheets in half to make it 8x5. 8 and 8.5 by 5 by 5 5.5 inch sheet. It perfectly fits a standard envelope. This guy's insane.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Why doesn't he just buy regular notepaper?
I have no idea. Or why doesn't he just say thank you? All right, so here's how to write
Does he
note.
Burn the edges? You remember, like, yes. to make it look old?
Does he put it in tea?
Yeah.
Crumple it up, make it look like parchment?
Yeah.
So how to write the note. Step one, physical details. And he goes through this in the video, and it's creepy. Always start with a sentence or two that describes a physical action or experience.
Ew.
And he goes on to say, like, you know, one of your senses, smell, sight, taste, feel. Really? Hearing.
Oh my
Something
God.
That could be captured on video.
Your leadership smells good.
Yeah. Smell that? That's damn fine leadership.
That's decision making.
We feel supported.
That's a waft of decision making coming up.
Smell that? That's some damn fine delegation. So, your boss's motives or emotions cannot be videotaped, but physical actions like staying late, talking, meeting, answering, listening again. So we shouldn't talk about what's felt. We should talk about what's real. For example, dear Fred, over the past year, you have several times given me extremely specific guidance on my work. This sounds like you're micromanaging. Most recently, the Monday before last, you sat down and spent 30 minutes showing me how to manage my email using GTD. Thank you.
Thank you for this. Sounds sarcastic.
Yes.
Just sounds sarcastic.
Maybe it's just me. Step two, impact on me. Next, tell the recipient how much impact their action had on you personally. If you can report a measurable number, do so. You can and should also report things that only you have access to, like your mood, your attitude, and motivation. For example, now I'm saving 3 hours a week, and I'm not dropping the ball on tracking what other people owe me.
Oh, my God.
Why do it? Everybody wants change in the world to be for the better. This sentence shows that your boss has a positive interaction with you. Step three, character trait. This is all in the thank you note.
It's oh my
Mind
God.
You, you got to put this on this card now. Next, you can name a positive character trait or optionally the motive the boss is showing you through their actions. You're letting the boss see how you see them through their eyes.
What? Wait, who's looking at who now? Wait.
Example. It's great to have a boss who cares and cares as in bold enough about my work to help me improve. Step four. This is how we round it off.
Oh, my God.
Predict the future. Finally.
I envision you giving me a big fat raise.
Right? Finally, after you've micromanaged the shit out of me.
Right.
Over this damn GTD.
Are you cutting all these, all the letters?
Like a ransom note?
Like a ransom
yes,
letter.
Yes, I am. Okay. Finally, if you want to add this section, predict the future. How would the short-term impact they had on you and their character trait affect you over the long term? Example, I'm looking forward to continuing to grow. Or, I know we're going to have a great year next year because of your leadership.
Oh.
Thank you. Milton.
Signed in blood.
Signed in blood. How bizarre is that? How, like, really, people don't know how to thank you. But, hey, dude, thanks. Thanks for helping me out last week. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving the Musical.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Thanksgiving the Musical. Oh, boy. Made it, well, this is a musical based on the film.
Yeah, on the seminal film, Thanksgiving.
Right, right.
Full disclosure, I produced a festival this year that featured Thanksgiving the
Jaquetta,
musical.
Jaquetta had the Festival of the Offensive,
yes.
Otherwise lovingly known as F.O.
So offensive, it's no longer happening.
Right, it was in New York and
we were run out of town.
No, it was in New York and it was original work. That had to be offensive, meaning it's not geared for, like, mass consumption.
Yeah.
Right. Not
it edited. Wasn't for the weak people.
Right.
So Thanksgiving was our standout musical.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. This musical, this live performance, wonderful performers.
I think what
singers.
The logo was it, blood, tits,
and murder, murder all on the first, in the first
in
scene.
In the first scene. And there were all of those.
So it's basically.
There were pilgrim tits, too.
It's about five college kids headed home for Thanksgiving break who cross paths with a homicidal turkey possessed by an ancient Indian curse. Horror and hilarity ensue as the teens must stop the manic bird before he kills them all.
Yes, and the bird is awesome. The bird is a bigot.
A bird is a bigot yes. And basically, yeah, a killer.
Yeah, a killer and evil. It was very funny musical.
It was very, very funny. And so you should take a look at their website, Thanks Killing the Musical, and see if they're coming, if they're performing anywhere.
If they're coming
near
to you.
Yeah. And it's really worth it to go see that.
It is. So. If they're doing it again, it was really worth seeing. But it's also worth seeing Thanks Killing, the film.
Oh, I haven't seen the film.
It's very funny. It was on Netflix. I think they took it off. I don't know why, mm-hmm. why they took it off, but it's very funny and definitely worth seeing. So, what are your plans for Thanksgiving?
I think I'm going to follow you to your
house. Oh, that's right. I invited Katie for Thanksgiving.
After two bottles of wine, Jaquetta invited me to Thanksgiving.
You should come. It'll be fun. It's just going to be me, you,
go.
Greg, and my mom.
That's
and
right.
We'll have to bring food because my mom can't
all
cook.
Right.
And it's a small town. We'll have to bring food in.
Yeah.
We'll bring provisions in.
We're importing
we're going to bring
from surrounding states.
We're thinking about just doing lobster. Fuck a bird.
Oh, that sounds great.
See?
Yeah.
Right?
That's where I'm going.
Thanksgiving. All right, so happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there. Good luck.
Yes.
And if you enjoyed this episode, go back and check out our other Thanksgiving episodes. And we also have coming up soon for you another holiday survival guide.
Yes.
So look out for that.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
I'd like to add that
please
you should
do.
Put a lock of your hair, tape it in there.
I'm going to put a picture of me. Having ridden in the sand, my boss rocks like a hurricane. And then I'll put that in there as well, with a shell.
I love
it. That doesn't even make any sense. And that's how we give thanks here at Hey You Know It.
It's great.